All right. Good evening, everybody. I want to. I want to thank everybody for coming. Yeah. I want to. Thanks a lot. That's. I want to thank everybody for coming. It's really, wow. I was not expecting a crowd like this. Malki and I were talking before about making some food. You know, my brother, I think I've mentioned this in the past, my brother was much more of a Hasidic thinker than I am. And my brother was a big proponent of the tikkun. And so we, throughout Shiva in the home, we had a tikkun after the tefillos. And so I was talking to Malki about having some food, and I made some, but I'm sorry if it's not going to be enough. So I really appreciate everybody who came out. The truth is that my family and I have really been taken by the number of people who have turned out for the Levaya in New Jersey and then in Eretz Yisrael. People came, and people from Memphis who came, if your kids were there, because we had a good number of Memphis kids there, then I appreciate that. It was very meaningful for us. I'm going to try to keep it together tonight, but knowing myself, it's highly unlikely that that's going to work. So you'll have to forgive me if I slow down and pause, you know, every now and then. But I'm gonna try my best. I want to tell everybody a little bit about my brother, but also I want to learn some Torah. And so sometimes, not sometimes, most always, God sends you the Torah that you need at the times when you need it. And so my brother liked Shabbos a lot. I think I know why, but I'm not positive. But I think I know why. And so when my brother was sick, my brother got sick roughly 19 months ago. And, I should get to the Torah part. He got sick roughly 19 months ago. He had a bone marrow transplant a little bit more than a year ago, right before Pesach. And Right after Pesach. And he was doing great. It worked. He was doing great. And then he relapsed in February, in early February. He relapsed. He was doing much better. He went back to work, actually, for a few days in early February. And then he relapsed, and he spent pretty much from then until now in the hospital. But there was a lot of learning and a lot of davening going on for him. And they set up a blog to coordinate Torah and Tefillah for my brother. It's refuahforchaim.blogspot.com. It's still up there. And I'll read you some stuff. My brother posted a few things on the blog. And I have a few print copies of the stuff from the blog that my brother wrote. And I guess I could lend it out if anybody wants to read. I think I have 4 print copies, but I need to get them back. So I'd be happy to lend them out, but I need them back at some point. In any event, so they started a chabura in Bergenfield on the street where my brother lived. His neighbor across the street started a chabura in his house, a group of learning for my brother. They used to get together once a week. It started with a few people, and within a few weeks, they had a tremendous chabura. I gave the chabura a few months ago when I was up north, and there was 100 people sitting there in the room. I'm estimating, of course, but something crazy like that. I gave the chabura just this past week during my shloshim after Shiva. So they decided they were going to keep the chabura at least through shloshim, and then they're going to reconsider and see what it is. So I said the chabura just this past week, and also some like 50-somewhat people at the chabura. It's given us strength to know how many people care and how many people reached out. So thank you very much. I much appreciate it. Let's learn a little bit. So I was saying about this chabura, my brother asked them if they were going to study things about Shabbos. He liked Shabbos. He cared about Shabbos. He wanted them to study things about Shabbos. And so I want to learn with you tonight Tehillim Tzadik Beis. My brother, in addition to liking Shabbos, my brother loved to sing. And I'll tell you a little bit about that, but let's study Tehillim Tzadik Beis, which is the Song of Shabbos. Mizmor Shir LeYoma Shabbos. So if everybody knows this paragraph in Tehillim, I imagine that you're a little bit familiar with it, because We say it all the time in our davening, number of times in the Shabbos davening, we say this paragraph in Tehillim. And I think that by studying this paragraph of Tehillim, I'll be able to express to you some thoughts about my brother, as well as, I hope, teach you something that will enhance your tefillah and maybe even your observance of Shabbos. And so, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, I'll read the paragraph of Tehillim telling you the interpretations of the Rishonim and the Achronim along the way in the style that we usually learn Tanakh. So the Song of Shabbos. Tov lehodos ladonoi ulizamer l'shimcha elyon. It is good to give thanks to God and to sing to His high name, to His name that is above. And Ibn Ezra here writes something that's very fascinating. It makes so much sense once you say it, but until you verbalize it, maybe it's something that gets lost in the shuffle. Ibn Ezra writes, Tov lehodos ladonoi be'emunas halev. Ulizamer l'shimcha elyon bapeh ubagoren. It's good to give thanks to God with emuna of the heart, with feeling and emotion and belief, and to sing praise to God with your mouth and with your throat. Do you know what Ibn Ezra writes? Ibn Ezra says that you can sometimes have one without the other. You can sometimes have a song that is vocally and musically very beautiful and lovely, but it has no what you would call regesh. It has no feeling. It has no emotion. There's no emunas halev. Conversely, you can have the opposite. You can have a song that has a tremendous amount of emunas halev, but doesn't present with the most vocal and musically beautiful harmony. I remember one time when we were in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, my family and I. So my Zeta is now 95 years old, thank God. He should live and be well. And my Zeta likes chazonos. People of his generation were much more into chazonos than people of my generation. But my Zeta likes chazonos. So we were in Israel for Pesach, and so he said we need to go to the great synagogue to listen to the chazon and to listen to the choir. And so we all went, my whole family, we took my Zeta to the great synagogue. And we sat there, it was Hallel, and it was Pesach, you know, Pesach davening. It was like some 5 hours later when davening was over. And we walked out, and my brother is the jokester in the family. He took a few things very seriously, I'll try to tell you what they were, but by and large, my brother was a funny, happy, go-lucky kind of guy. And we walked out, and there's one person in every family who can say anything. You know, like if somebody else said it, it's terribly embarrassing, but there's one person in every family who could just say whatever they want, and everybody thinks it's funny, and everybody laughs. So my brother was that guy in my family. I'm really hoping we don't have more fights now going forward. But in my family, my brother was that guy. And so we walk out of the great synagogue, and my brother says to my grandfather, he says to my Zadie, he says, "Oh, Zadie, that was great! The best davening I ever heard of! Zadie, wasn't that fantastic?" And my Zadie looks back at him, he says, "He saves the good stuff for the performances. That was no good at all." Sometimes you have a davening, or you have a song. You have something that's vocally and musically very, very beautiful, but it doesn't present with the emunas halev. It doesn't present with the emotions and feelings of tefillah. You have the reverse also sometimes. This happens to me. I don't know. I guess I'm a sucker for older balei tefillah. But sometimes you get people who take the amud in the shul, older Jews, and they stand and they daven with a slow nusach, and you feel the emunas halev. And some people, I'm sure, are sitting in the shul looking at their watches, and what is it? And this is not, you know, their voices, and it's not so beautiful, and we have nicer chazal. You have one without the other. The one exists without the other. Ibn Ezra says, Tov lehodos ladonai is with an emunas halev. Ulizamer b'shimcha elyon, that's talking about the song. That's talking about the beauty of the Nigin. By the way, and Ibn Ezra does not write this, but I think it's quite evident, according to his opinion, which is more important. Which comes first in the Pasuk? The Emunas Halev comes first in the Pasuk. Ulizamer l'shimcha elyon, it comes second. My brother, you know, was a beautiful Baal Tefillah. My brother loved to sing. My brother was the best we've got. My dad is very good. I don't know, hopefully he won't... Somebody, don't tell him that I said this. Hopefully he won't find out. But he'll admit it. My dad is very good. my brother was the best. I didn't do so well on this area of the gene pool, but my dad is a very good Baal Tefillin, but my brother was the best that we've got. You know, my brother had a group of friends. They used to get together. They used to learn. They started calling themselves the Stolel at some point. Whatever it is, not important. And they used to get together. They used to learn. They have their own davening and their own minyanim. His group of friends, and he was the Baal Tefillah of the group. He davened for the Yamud. We have a recording of him leading Slichos, the first night of Slichos. The recording's an hour and a half long, by the way. The first night of Slichos. That's a Slichos. They sang every Slicha. They had a niggin. They sang every slicha. That was their mahalach. That was their mahalach in tefillah and in avodas Hashem. That was their path. He was the Baal Tefillah for the group. It was a beautiful Baal Tefillah. Started when we were young. I remember him singing the Manishtana when we were kids. I remember he used to put on a show. It was a whole big thing when my brother sang the Manishtana. Not like I saw Richard here. Not like your whole big thing. That's a different thing altogether. Right? When my brother used to put on a show. I remember some years he used to put on a Chazan's hat. I had no idea where he got it from. He was like 6 years old. But he got a Chazan's hat. And he used to put it on. He used to sing the Manishtana. It started very, very young. But he was very good. And he sang in one of two ways. We have pictures of him singing. He was in a band when he got older. It's called Omek HaDavar. I think I gave Yaakov Kaplan one of their albums, but they have some music out, and I don't know. I have some if you want to listen to it. They're pretty good. But we have pictures of. I think so. I'm also biased. But we have pictures of him performing and him singing, and you know he always has one of two postures. My brother, either he's singing with a tremendous smile on his face because he was full of life, or he's singing with a very, very serious. Eyes closed, and just like Ibn Ezra says, a lot of emunah salev. That's what he was like. He took it very seriously. All right. Very, very good. Tov lahodos ladono yilizamri l'shimcha elyon. You know, the Radak writes that specifically on Shabbos, it's good to sing praise of God. You understand? Mizmor shir liyom haShabbos. It's a song about Shabbos. The song is Tov Lahodos Ladono Ayulizamir Lishimcha Elyon. It's good to sing thanks and praise of God. So what is it about Shabbos that makes Shabbos better than every other day in the week to sing praise and thanks of God? And so you know what Radak writes? It's something so fascinating. Radak says, because I have time. Radak says, on every day during the week, I'm rushing. I got to get out to work. I need to hurry. I need to do this. I need to do that. All sorts of things that we're doing during the week. All of a sudden on Shabbos, Radak says, well, I got time now. I can slow down. I'm not as hassled and hurried. I don't have so many places to go. I don't have so many things to do. So, thank you, whoever did. So on Shabbos, it's a better time to sing praise and thanks of God. In the words of the Radak, on Shabbos, it's a better time. Lasok bechachma ube'avodas Hashem. On Shabbos, it's a better time. It's a more opportunistic time to deal in chachma, in wisdom, and in the service of God. Just as a parenthetical point, I think that this is true not only about Shabbos. It's true about leisure time in general. Sometimes we have a tendency when we're on vacation to just shut down. I don't want to do anything. Malki and I fight about vacation sometimes. Malki's idea about vacation is not to relax at all. Malki's idea about vacation is to do a million and a half things, as ever much as you can do. My idea of vacation is to stay home, lock the door, take the phone off the hook, and order a pizza. That's my idea of vacation. Get a book, sit down, relax. Okay, so it makes you some interesting times when we're planning for vacation. But it's not just about Shabbos, I don't think. I think it's true about our leisure time in general. When we have more time, when we're not hassled, when we're not hurried, when we don't have a million things that we need to take care of, that is a time that is more opportunistic for the study of Torah. That is a time that's more opportunistic. Lasok bechachma uba'avodas Hashem. To deal with chachma and in avodas Hashem. You know, my brother worked with my father. And my dad said, I didn't go to the office often, but my dad said that my brother used to sit at his desk with headphones. And my brother used to alternate between listening to music, which he loved, and listening to shiurim. My brother used to like to listen to Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. He used to like to listen to Rabbi Ephraim Waxman. It's a certain genre that that my brother liked to listen to. I don't know that he listened to me ever, but he liked to listen to shiurim. My father said that during work he used to listen to shiurim. It's good to have a good boss, by the way. I'm not saying that everybody can do this, but it just gives you a window into people. Somebody not only in their leisure time, but in every moment that they have free. He sat at his desk, my dad said, with headphones there, and he used to, when he had time, to sit. And my dad used to marvel. My dad used to say, when I get a few minutes off at work, so I'm not turning on 5 minutes of a shiur. And I don't know how many of us do that, but that's what my father said that that my brother used to do. That's what Radak says is special about Shabbos, to sing praise and songs to God. Malbim writes something very different. Very, very different. Malbim believes that this song, the song of Shabbos, is a song about Emunah. Now this should not surprise us, because the essence of Shabbos is about Emunah. Shabbos is all about Emunah. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes, both in the 19 letters, the bridge version, but also in the Choreh, where he expands on it in greater detail. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes that the essence of Shabbos is about Emunah because man is different than the rest of creation. The rest of creation always, constantly, continuously follows the directive and the mandate of God. But man is different. We choose to do what we want. We master nature. We are in charge. We control. And so what is it that prevents man from actually thinking that he is in charge and he is in control? Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch says the answer is the Shabbos. On the Shabbos, when I refrain from work, when I stop, when I cease, that ceasing of labor is a statement that I am not the master of everything that goes on in this world. I am not the Baal. I am not in charge. God is in charge. I am following and listening to His mandates and His directives. The keeping of the Shabbos, Rabbi Hirsch suggests, is all about Emunah. And the Malbim believes that as well. And so the Malbim writes that the song of Shabbos is a song of Emunah. Now, I know many of you here did not know my brother, but if my brother stood for anything, my brother stood for Emunah. It was a pillar of his life. He was a wellspring of Emunah. You know, the Rishonim debate why it is that God gives us tests, why it is that God gives us nisyonos. And one theory in the Rishonim is that God gives us tests in order to show the rest of the world what it is that we are made of. I obviously have no direct line to God, but I strongly believe, maybe I've convinced myself of this, because it makes me feel better. In fact, I've definitely convinced myself of this, because it makes me feel better. But I believe that God gave my brother this test so he could show me, or he could show us, what it is to live with Emunah. That's not something that we get in our world. And my brother used to talk about this a lot, by the way. In fact, when he was deciding where to send his kids to school, he has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, so one of the things that he spoke about with my parents, with my sister-in-law, is that he was upset that the schools don't teach Emunah. Now, I tried to explain to him, it's not really an easy thing to teach. It's not really something that's so simple to put into curriculum. But he was upset. It bothered him. He said, why don't we teach Emunah? It's the foundation of life. It is the basics. Right? The Bahag doesn't count Emunah as a mitzvah because the Bahag believes that you cannot have a mitzvah if you don't have Emunah. It doesn't make any sense. How can you have a mitzvah if you don't have Emunah? It doesn't follow. Emunah is the foundational structure upon which everything is built. And how do we skip over that? How do we gloss over that when teaching children? It bothered him a tremendous, tremendous amount. But that Emunah carried him. And I'll be honest with you, that Emunah carried us as well, us as a family. My brother, he could... I'm sorry to the doctors in the room, I apologize. This is not meant to be insulting. But my brother could care less what his doctors told him. He did not care in the slightest. In fact, this attitude was contagious. My brother told me there was one time a doctor came into his room. My mother told me this story. I wasn't there. A doctor came into his room. This was just a few weeks ago. And the doctor started, was telling him that it was not looking good. By the numbers, it was not good for a while. And my brother said, okay, everything's going to be fine. That's what I used to say. Hashem's going to take care of me. It's okay. The doctor was, you know, pushing him a little bit. And apparently at one point she said, you know, I've been a doctor for 30 years. I've been doing this. And, you know, I just want to tell you that this is not good. To which he responded, thank you very much. I appreciate that. God has been God longer. And it's going to be okay. You know, but that was his attitude. You know, he picked his doctor. My parents live in Teaneck, and my brother lived in Bergenfield. It's adjacent towns. And there's a medical center. It's called Hackensack Medical Center. It's very close, and they have a good cancer unit. And it would have made sense for my brother to get treated in Hackensack. But he decided to go to Sloan. Sloan is in Manhattan. And if you know the traffic from New Jersey to Manhattan, so when I went to visit him just a few weeks ago, the morning that I went in to visit, it took me 2 hours to make the, 12-mile drive, something like that, from my parents' house to Sloan in Manhattan. But he decided to go to Sloan, and I'll tell you why. He met with the doctors in Hackensack, and he met with the doctors in Sloan. The head of pediatric oncology in Sloan Kettering is a fellow, a Frum Jew. It was a Jewish fellow in Hackensack also. A Frum Jew by the name of Dr. Peter Steinhertz. I don't know if anybody here knows him. He probably doesn't want me telling everybody. He's a big tzaddik, if you ever meet him. In any event, so my brother met with him, and they spoke about, you know, his leukemia and treatment and the whole business. And at the end of this meeting, or towards the end of this meeting, my brother asked him, my brother said, so doc, tell me, am I going to beat this? Can you cure me? And the doctor said to him, he said, listen, Chaim, let me tell you something. We're going to do our best. I'm going to do my best. I know you're going to do your best. But you see Raphael standing here before me? He's the only one who's going to make you better. That's the only one who can do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Raphael on my left. And my brother said, oh, you're my man, doc. That's it. You're my doctor. My brother decided he was going to go into to Sloan, and that was why. My brother really, he just lived with a tremendous amount of emuna. Now, I'll tell you, you know, as I said, we have some of these things. It's actually very hard for me to read, but I'll share a little bit with you. This is 4 days after my brother relapsed. By the way, if you don't know, that's very bad. When you know, with leukemia. So he had a bone marrow transplant, and then he relapsed. So it, by the numbers, that's not good. That's not good. And so he wrote this. This is roughly 4 days, I think. Yeah, after he relapsed. So he writes, I'm not going to read you the whole letter, but excerpt. He writes, I know the natural tendency in a situation like this may be to be upset and down. However, I beg you not to let that be the case. Please let us all take this current bump in the road and transform it into a golden opportunity. An opportunity to show and prove to Hashem that even when things do not go the way we would like them to, we will not lose our faith. And we will know that He will take care of us. This is not normal, by the way. I mean, maybe it should be, but I don't know. Let us show Him how we know it's all for the best, and we'll continue to call out to Him for salvation. Trust me. I know this is not easy. However, I know that together we will get through this. He goes on. It's a little bit more. A little bit more. You know, he wrote, what is this now? Around a week after that. This is around 2 weeks after he relapsed. So he wrote again. It was, as many of you know, over the past year and a half, I haven't really gotten out much. The only time I really was allowed to go anywhere was to go to the hospital. Over the course of one of my trips to Sloan, I realized that cars all over the road have these magnets stuck on the back of them. They were usually supporting a cause like a school, a sports team, or a summer camp. I even saw some that professed love for pets. But it got me thinking, if all these people are willing to show their support for these different organizations and causes, which are all great, why not support the greatest cause of all, the spreading of emunah and the belief that everything is from Hashem? So that's why my brother developed, and it's more to read here, but that's why he made if you saw my car, so at one point I had like 50 magnets that say on them, Emuna, it's all from Hashem. So those are my brother's magnets. He made them because he thought, you know, if people are going to, you know, show support and relate with all sorts of different things, so why don't we relate? Why don't we show support for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's an interesting, funny thing, but that was what he thought. And so he printed up these magnets, and he at first printed, I think, 250, maybe 200, I don't know, whatever the minimum order was that you could have printed up. He thought that maybe people wouldn't take them or whatever it is. And I think 3 days later, he was out of magnets. And so then some people gave him some money, and he ordered more, and he ran through 1,000 magnets after that. And then just, was it like 3 weeks ago, the last week he was alive, he ordered a lot more. So we have them. So if anybody wants a magnet for your car or for your fridge or for whatever it is that you want one, so I have. I'll hook you up. In any event, the Malbim writes that this song is all about emuna, because Shabbos is all about emuna. So the Malbim says, "Tov lahodos ladonai ulizamer l'shimcha elyon." The Malbim says, God relates to the world in two different ways. God relates to the world in Malbim's language with hanhaga nisis and with hanhaga tivis. Hanhaga nisis is God's miracles, open, obvious, easy to see God. Hanhaga tivis is natural. God working the world through its natural ways and means, not obviously and openly seeing God. So Malbim says, listen to this interpretation. Tov lehodos. Malbim says, whenever you find the word hoda'a, it indicates a personal thanks. A personal thanks. You know, there's a machlokas between... Do I have time for this? Very quickly. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether or not the blind person is allowed to make the bracha pokeach ivrim. Every morning we make a bracha pokeach ivrim, that God opens the eyes of the blind. Well, what happens if you're blind? Are you allowed to make that bracha? So the Rambam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says yes. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that this argument between Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam was a machlokas, an argument about the nature of the bracha. Whether the bracha was a personal bracha, Rabbi Soloveitchik calls a birchas ha-hoda'a, personal thanks, or whether the bracha is a birchas hashevach, a bracha of general praise. So they said the Rambam thought that the bracha is a personal bracha, a bracha of hodah, personal thanks. So a blind person can't make that bracha. Where Rabbeinu Tam thought it was a general praise, a bracha about general praise, so a blind person could make that bracha. But hodah is about personal praise. So Malbim says, Tov lahodos ladonai. It is good to say personal praise directly to God. When you see God directly, you can give personal, specific praise to God. But sometimes you don't see that. Sometimes you don't see God directly. You know what sometimes you have to deal with? L'shimcha Elyon, God's name that is above. It's on top. I don't see directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I cannot give hoda'a, specific thanks, but I have song to that God who is above, on top of everything else, orchestrating the teva with hanhaga tivis. So you see both of them? Tov lehodos ladonai. It's good to give personal thanks to God when you see hanhaga nisis, miracles, open God. Ulezamer l'shimcha elyon. And to sing praise to God who is above, who you don't necessarily see so openly and honestly in your life, who's working things on top with hanhaga tivis via the natural order of the world. Lehagid baboker chasdecha v'emunoscha balelos. And Rashi here writes that lahagid baboker chasdecha, that you give thanks to God with his chasadim in the morning. Rashi says that the morning is representative of the Eis HaGeula, the time of redemption, the time of salvation. So Rashi says that in the time of the salvation, lahagid baboker chasdecha, I can see the kindnesses of God. I speak about his kindness and I talk about it when I see it, when it's open, when it's obvious in times of geula, of redemption and salvation. Ve'emunascha balelos. But at night, when it's dark, Rashi says in the time of the golos, in the time of exile, in times where you don't see God, where it's dark and it's night, that's when you sing not about chasdecha, not about the kindnesses of God, but about the emuna of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Radak says something very interesting, by the way. Radak says that emuna, the song of emuna, is that there are chasadim. He thinks that it's the same thing. Lahagid baboker chastecha. In the morning, when it's bright and there's geula, I sing about your kindness. Ve'emunascha balelos. But when it's dark and when it's night, when I don't see your kindness, I sing belief that there is kindness. I sing belief that there will be kindness. You know, it's really interesting. Radak says, if you look at this pasuk, boker is in the singular. Lelos are in the plural. Lahagid baboker chastecha. I sing your praise in the singular morning. Ve'emunascha, and about your emuna, balelos, in the plural night. So Radak thinks that this whole paragraph is about chokhmah. You remember Radak we learned before? It's about wisdom. So Radak says it makes beautiful sense. You know why? Because the only morning that I have time to learn is Shabbos. But at night, I always have time to learn. At night, the world slows down. At night, everything gets calm. The Rambam writes that a person's Ikar Limud HaTorah is at night. The Rambam says a person gets most of his learning at night. So Radak says, because I have every night to learn. But in the morning, I'm hassled and I'm hurried. In the morning, I got to get out. I got to get going. That's why morning is singular and Lelos is plural. Rashi does not write this. But I think we can suggest, according to Rashi's interpretation, that Boker is talking about Geula and Laila is talking about Golus. I think that we can suggest that sometimes the Lelos feel more prevalent than the Boker. Sometimes you feel that there's more Golus than there is Geula. Sometimes you feel that the challenges are more difficult than the salvations. And so maybe according to Rashi's interpretation as well, maybe according to Rashi's interpretation, Boker is written in the singular, but Emuna is written in the, but Lelo, sorry, is written in the plural. In the Boker we can sing of God's Chasadim, but in the Lelos we have to sing about God's Emuna. My brother went through some tough Lelos, some really hard nights, some really hard times of Gullus. But my brother sang a beautiful song of Emuna. Let me read you something else. This is from around 3.5 weeks after he relapsed, almost a month after he relapsed. So this is in the middle of an email. But in regard to the medical things that are going on, Baruch Hashem, we made it through week one of chemo and other treatments. I have more on tap this week, but as my holy doctors say, Chaim, let's take it one day at a time. So that's what we'll do. We know we have to do our part, but at the same time, it's all from Hashem. Our ultimate and loving Father is always with us and always guiding us. So we just keep going on. I'm starting to feel the chemo's a bit, but not so much so far. But hey, for refuah, we do what we gotta do. The chemo makes you sick. It's really Hashem who's making you better. He sang a beautiful song of Emunah. It is a beautiful song of Emunah in some really, really dark nights of Lelos. Some really dark nights of Gullus. The chemo, by the way, I think they say it does make you sick. I think that's what they really say. In any event, David HaMelech continues. Alei Osor ve'alei Nobel, Alei Goyon Bechinor. We'll sing, these are the songs we're going to sing. Alei Osor, it's an instrument with 10 strings. I don't know what instrument that is. Alei Alei Novel is an instrument with 8 strings. Alei Higayon Bechinor are vocals that go along with the music. So we have a nice orchestra, a nice band, a number of different instruments, and we have singers as well. And they're going to sing. Kisi Machtani Adonai Befa'alecha B'maase Yadecha Aranein. Kisi Machtani Adonai Befa'alecha B'maase Yadecha Aranein. Because God, you have made me happy with your activities. In the creations of your hand, I will rejoice and I will sing. Radak writes, again, about chokhmah, about study, about learning. Radak says that, Kisi machtani Adonai b'fa'alecha, because you have made me rejoice with your studies. When I involve myself in chokhmah and avodas Hashem, it gives me joy and happiness. You know, the Rambam writes, in the Perush HaMishnah, we say the Mishnah whenever we learn avos,
that Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael Lefichach Hir Ba Lehem Torah Mitzvos. God wanted to give us merit, so He gave us a lot of mitzvos. He gave us a lot of Torah. If I ask some of my students in the room, thank you very much for coming, by the way, guys. I appreciate it. But if I ask some of my students in the room, if I wanted to help them in school, should I give them more homework or should I give them less homework? I'm not really asking. I would imagine that you would say less homework is better than more homework. Yes? Nods? Maybe? Yes? But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that God wanted to help us out, so He gave us more mitzvos. So the Rambam says that doesn't make any sense. He should have given us less. You know, Rabbi Lubetzky came up to pay a shiva call. I appreciate that. And Rabbi Lubetzky was talking to my parents. Rabbi Lubetzky taught my brother in high school. And Rabbi Lubetzky was talking to my parents about my brother as a student. And Rabbi Lubetzky recalls writing a letter home to my parents. My parents recall getting it, by the way, so this really happened. That my brother was missing 45 homework assignments. 45 homework assignments. My dad couldn't figure out how anybody could be missing 45 homework assignments. My mom couldn't figure out how any teacher would assign 45 homework assignments. Either way, right? That was what they were talking about. In any event, though, the Rambam says that the reason why God gives us more is because the Torah Hashem is so vast that everybody, if they try, everybody can find a section, a portion, a niche of the Torah Hashem that excites them, that speaks to them, that gives them joy. You know, the Radak says, Ki simachta ni Adonai b'falecha. It's personal. God has made me happy with his actions. B'masa yadecha aranein. Personal, singular. Radak says the chokhma that excites one person does not excite the next person. Everybody has their own chokhma, their own section of avodas Hashem and Torah Hashem that speaks directly to them. I think I know why my brother wasn't such a great student. I think I know. It's because sometimes in schools, and we're trying to change this, I know, we're trying to change it. But sometimes in schools, and I work there so I could say it, sometimes in schools we pin students down. We box them into certain methods, to certain, you know, ways of learning and types of learning, and students who don't respond well, so they don't perform well. When my brother got out of school, he flourished, he loved learning, he didn't do well in school. But I mean, he did fine, passed, and whatever. He did fine, but he didn't. He loved going to school. By the way, my brother loved going to school. He loved being with his friends. He loved school. He never missed a day. But he didn't love doing work in school. But he loved to learn. And when he got on his own, he flourished. I think he had trouble in school because we didn't teach in school the types of things that he liked to learn. We didn't speak to his type of chachma. We didn't speak to the things that excited him. But that's what Radak says. Kisi machtani Adonai befalecha, b'masa yedecha aranein. A personal type of chachma. You need to find the areas of Torah that speak to you. You need to find the areas of Torah that excite you. And follow those areas of Torah. The Rambam writes in that Perush HaMishnah, that with that area of Torah that you find, you'll ride that area of Torah straight into the Olam Haba. You'll ride that area of Torah straight into the Gan Eden, the Rambam says. That's why he thinks the Torah Hashem is so vast. So my brother used to say, he liked chassidus. He used to say, though, he said, I'm not a chassid. My mother used to ask him, what kind of chassid are you? He used to say, I'm not a chassid. I just like learning chassidus. It speaks to me. Emuna, avas Hashem. That's what he loved. That's what he liked. That was his type of chachma. The Malbim here writes something very different and also something very beautiful. I'm going to try to hurry up. The Malbim says that there's a difference between a pe'ula and a ma'ase. Kisi machtani adonai befa'alecha bima'ase yodecha aranein. Malbim thinks that a pe'ula and a ma'ase are not the same thing. A pe'ula is something that I am actively working on with your actions. I'm actively working on it. It's a pe'ula. It's an activity. A ma'ase is something that's already created.
something that's already done. You remember what Malbim said? Malbim thought the whole paragraph is about Emunah. God relates into the world in two different ways. One that's active, Nisim, obvious God. One that's more passive, nature, laid back, already created rules of nature. Malbim says, listen, Kisimachtani Adonai b'falecha. God, it makes me so happy when I see your active involvement, your pi'ulot. When I see your nisim and your miracles, it makes me so happy. But watch this. B'ma'aseh yodecha arani. But in the natural order of the world, in the way you run the world, when I don't see you, when you're not obvious, when it's not miracles, when it's natural order of the world and it's nature, I'll sing that song too. I'll sing praise of God there as well. And here then is a fantastically, fantastically important insight. David HaMelech continues, Magodlu ma'asecha Adonai, me'od amku ma'achshivosecha. According to the Malbim, what is a ma'aseh? Teva. The natural order of the world. Do you see what happens here according to Malbim? The song becomes a praise not of Nisim, but of Teva. I will be so happy when I see your miracles, God. But when I don't see your miracles, when I just get regular, plain, old Teva, I'll sing your praise too, because Magodlu Masecha Adonai, how great is Teva, is the natural order of the world. Me'od amku ma'achshivosecha, built with such deep insight and thought. You know what Malbim says? You know why Teva is so important? You know why the natural order of the world is so deep and so important? Malbim says, because if we always got Nisim, we wouldn't have any free will to choose or not to choose God. The Abarbanel writes this, by Paro Melech Mitzrayim. The Torah says, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki ani echbadati eslibov, eslev avodav, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. And the Rishonim all try to figure out, but that's not fair. If God hardens Paro's heart, then that's not fair. Paro, you know, doesn't get to choose. It's not fair to Paro. You know what Abarbanel says? Abarbanel says that Paro saw the hand of God so openly. Paro saw so many miracles that he didn't have a choice. He had to let the Jewish people go. You would need to be insane to see what Paro saw and not let the Jewish people go. So do you know what God had to do? He had to harden Paro's heart to bring him back to equilibrium, to let him make a choice from his own free will. That's Abarbanel's theory about what happened there with Paro. And Malbim here writes the same thing. Malbim writes that Teva is so important because if you always got nace, then you wouldn't have to choose to see God or not. This is so fantastically important. It gives me strength. You cannot always get nace. You cannot always get miracles. Sometimes you get stuck with Teva. And when you get stuck with Teva, that's when you have a choice to choose God or not. That's when you have a choice to seek God, to feel God, to believe in God, to have real emunah. When you see nace and nace and nace, and if you only got nace, you wouldn't have a choice to believe in God. You would have to. When you get teva, that's when you can choose. Sometimes it's not easy to get teva, especially when you so much want to get nace. And when you so much expect to get nace. Because sometimes when we choose God, we expect that God is going to respond by giving us nisim. But sometimes God responds by giving us teva. And when God gives us teva, that's when we really have a choice to choose God or not. Magodlu ma'asecha Adonai me'od amku ma'achshivosecha. How great is the teva of the world. That's not an easy song to sing, by the way. That's a very hard song. The song that says to God, God, I know you didn't give me nace, but I still feel you in the teva. I know it didn't turn out like I was hoping it would, but I still feel you and appreciate you in the natural way that things came out. That is a very difficult song to sing. But that's the song that my brother sang so beautifully. I remember when I just saw him. I just saw him. I saw him. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw him just the week before he died. I didn't get to see him so often. But I saw him that week. And I was leaving. And as you can see me now, but when I was leaving then, I was not keeping it together. Let's just say that. I was not doing well. And I was walking out. And he said to me, Aaron, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. You know, whenever we got upset, whenever we were having a tough time, we always called him. So backwards. So backwards. But we called him. He made us feel better because he sang this song. He believed it so deeply that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything works out for the best. He taught us that. And he taught it to us very, very clearly. So great is the Teva, Malbim thinks this song is. Radak thought that this was a song about Chochmah, not about Emunah. So Radak understood this pasuk slightly differently. Radak understood, "Magadlu masecha Adonai ve'oram kumach shelosecha." How great are your actions, God? How deep are your thought processes? You know what Radak said? Radak said, once you start learning Chochmah, you realize how great the Chochmas Hashem is. Before you start learning Chochmah, you don't realize how great the Chochmas Hashem is. You know, I had a teacher in high school, Rabbi Dulitz. Rabbi Dulitz, when I was in ninth grade, he taught me Navi. And Rabbi Dulitz, he used to say, Feigenbaum, the first step to knowing something is to know that you know nothing. And trust me, you know nothing. That's what he used to say. Right? But once you start learning something, once you start getting involved in Chochmah, you realize how much Chochmah you don't know. You realize how much there is that's out there. It's really fascinating. You know, somebody told me the following mashal. I don't remember where I heard it. It's like digital photography. You know digital photography? Everybody here has a digital camera? Yeah? You look at a digital picture. You know what happens when you zoom into a digital picture? It gets blurry. Everybody knows pixels. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody knows how that works, right? When you zoom into a digital picture, it gets blurry. The Yad Hashem is the exact opposite. With every magnifying glass, with every microscope that we invent, we see more order, not less order. The deeper we can look at the creations of God, we see how much more wise the creations of God were than we thought they were before. With every new discovery that we get, we realize that the Yad Hashem is more complex than we thought it was to begin with. Magadlu masecha Adonai me'od amku machshavot. When I embark on Chachma, I start to realize how much Chachma there really is. And then Radak says, Ish ba'ar lo yeda uchisio lo yavin ezos. But the fools don't realize this. The fools think they know everything. The fools think that they know it all. Those of us who are a little bit wiser know that we know a lot less. Those of us who are a little bit wiser know that there's a lot that we don't know. When I was at the Levaya in Eretz Yisrael, so Rabbi Yosef Nussbacher, he's a Rebbe in Shalvim, he was my Rebbe when I was there. So he came to the Levaya, and he came up to me before the Levaya, it was before, we were standing outside, we were waiting, whatever it was. He came up to me before the Levaya, and he said to me, Aaron, so you're a rabbi now, so maybe you have some insight about all of this. And so I said to him, I said, no, Rebbe, I don't have any insight about all this. But I think that knowing I don't have any insight about all this is the beginnings of an insight. Because Ish ba'ar lo yeda uchesil lo yavin ezos. The fools think that they know everything. You have to know something to know that you don't know everything. Now, the Radak prefers that interpretation of the pasuk. But Radak suggests a different interpretation. That this pasuk, Ish ba'ar lo yeda uchisil lo yavin ezos, is not modifying the pasuk prior, but is modifying the pasuk that follows. The pasuk that follows reads, Bifroach Rishoyim Kimoesov Vayatsitsu Kopole Oven Lihishamdom Adeyad. That the wicked, they sprout and they grow, but they only sprout and grow to receive reward in this world so that God can have them lost in the next world. So Radak says you could have explained. Ish ba'ar lo yeda uchisil lo yavin esos. Foolish people don't understand that when the wicked prosper in this world, when the righteous have difficult and hard times in this world, it's only to prepare them and set them for the next world. The foolish people don't get that, but those of us who know better, we understand that. Radak says you could have read the psukim that way, but Radak says I don't like that interpretation. You know why he says he doesn't like that interpretation? Radak says, because even when I know that when the wicked prosper in this world, it's to set them up for failure in the next. And when the righteous suffer in this world, it's in order to prepare them for more reward in the next world. Even when I know that, Radak says, Od nisharu she'elos kashos. That still leaves me with a lot of difficult questions. It still leaves me with life situation that I just cannot explain. Life situation that I just cannot talk about. It does not give me solace, Radak says, to know that when the righteous people are suffering, they'll get better reward in Olam Haba. Radak says, I don't like that pshat. I believe it to be true. Radak, he doesn't say it's not true. He knows it's true. But he doesn't like that that's the pshat in the pasuk because od nisharu she'elos kashos, because it's still all too difficult to live with those kinds of realities, to look at the world and to see how righteous people suffer and are cut down while wicked people prosper. We cannot explain it. Not the fools and not the wise people. Radak does not like this interpretation in the pasuk. I'm going to try to move a little bit faster because I want to try to finish in the next 5 or 6 minutes, but I want to make sure that I read through the whole paragraph. I don't really know why I want to make sure I read through the whole paragraph, but I think that makes sense. If I have to stop, I will. Okay. V'atam marom li'olam Adonai, but you, God, are marom, on top, above. Radak says, even when you see wicked people who are prospering, don't think ki'ein mashkiach. Don't think that God is not watching. You have to know that God is marom, like Malbim here says. God is nitzchi, He is forever. V'yadu al elyona. God makes long-term calculations. God doesn't make calculations like we do. When when somebody harms us and somebody wrongs us, we hope they get smacked back right away, immediately. God doesn't work that way. God makes long calculations. God has plenty of time to deal with people, and God makes sure that everybody gets according to their actions, so that all of the Rishoyim, they'll all get what's coming to them based on their actions and their activities. But we, the Tzadikim, Vatorim Kireim Karni Balosi Bashemen Ra'anan, my horn will be uplifted like the Ra'im. Balosi Bashemen Ra'anan. It's interesting, Machlokas HaRishonim. Anybody know the word Balosi? Anybody know what it means? We say this paragraph to him all the time. It's a trick question. It's not so easy to translate. The Radak thought it comes from the word balul. Balul means to anoint. So my horn that's going to be uplifted, raised up, will be anointed. It's a sign of prestige and honor. The Malbim thought it doesn't come from balul. It comes like a word in Bereishis. You know, in Bereishis we say, or Sarah says, achare balosi haisali edna. It means that after I was withered, after I dried up, after I got older, I was rejuvenated, re-energized. So my horn will be elevated, balosi bashemen ra'anan. Even after I've withered, even after I've dried up, I will be rejuvenated, picked up with more oil. I'll be rejuvenated and brought back to life. And all of those who came against me, I will hear them say, they will sing Tzadik Katamar Yifrach Ki Erez Balvanon Yiske. Malbim writes something here that's very beautiful. A tamar is a date palm. Malbim writes that a date palm produces fruit. It has an advantage. It produces fruit. But it also has a disadvantage. I didn't check this out. Anybody here a botanist? I don't know. Malbim says that date palms also dry up. And if you chop them down, they don't regrow. I don't know. That's what Malbim says. On the other hand, Ke'erez Balvanon, a cedar tree, produces no fruit. But if you chop it down, it grows back. And Malbim says that the tzaddikim are like both. Tzaddikim are katamar yifrach. They produce fruit, but they are also ke'erez balvanon. They also regrow. Malbim says that tzaddikim produce fruit in this world. They give us children. They give us masim tovim. They create ripple effects of fruit going throughout this world. And also, when they are cut down from this world, ke'eris balvanon yiskeh, they will regrow in the world to come. So that shisulim, Malbim says, whenever you find the word shasul in Tanakh, it's always talking about a replanted tree. It's not talking about planting a tree. That's a netiyah, that's a zriya. A replanted tree is a shasul. Sometimes, again, I'm not a botanist, but sometimes you have a good tree, but it's in bad soil. So you want to take the tree and you want to plant it in better soil so that it'll grow better. Malbim says that tzaddikim are ke'erez balvanon yiskeh shisulim b'veis Adonai. They are replanted in the house of God, cut down from this world, and replanted in a better, richer soil in the world to come, while the tzaddik is cut down and replanted in the next world. Shisulim b'veis Adonai b'chatzros Eloheinu yafrichu. In the chotzer, outside of that bias, yafrichu. Remember the pasuk before? Remember? Tzadik katamar yifrach. What blossoms? What grows? Not the tzadik, the tamar, the fruit. The fruit, while the tzaddik is cut down from this world and is replanted in the next world, his children and his masim tovim, they grow in the chotzer. While the tzaddik is transported from the chotzer, the outer courtyard, the prose door of this world, into the traklin, into the base Hashem of the next world, his children and his masim tovim live on. They grow behind him in this world. You see it, it's beautiful, chiasmic. In the pasuk, how he interpolates, right? How he interprets, right? He says that the tzaddik katamar yifrach ke'erez balvanon yiskeh. He plants fruit in this world. That's his children and his masim tovim. He grows and he's cut down. He can grow back like the erez kayazmik shisulim b'veis Adonai. Right? A B B A. Yes, maybe. Yeah, shisulim b'veis Adonai. He is replanted in the next world, but bechatzros Eloheinu yafrichu. But in the chotzer, back in this world, everything that he planted, his children and his masim tovim, they continue to grow. They continue to sprout, so that od yinuvun v'seva d'sheinim v'rananim yiyu. They will create their own fruit. They will in old age produce more learning of Torah, more sanctifying of God's name, so that lahagid ki yashar Adonai tzuri v'lo avla sabo, so that they will be able to sing together, parents in the next world, children in this world, the song and praise of God, that there is no iniquity, that God sometimes gives us nes and sometimes gives us teva. We learned together tonight Tehillim Tzadik Beis. As my brother would say, it's an emotion about Chachma. It's emotion about Emuna. It's an emotion about Shabbos. I think you would appreciate me saying it like that. That's how he used to talk. We learned that we don't have all the answers. And we learned that Hashem always performs for us Chasadim. We learned that when you don't see Chesed, you have to sing the song of Emunah, knowing that the tzaddik who plants fruit in this world is replanted and growing in the next. I pray that our horn will soon again be raised, that our shriveled spirits will soon again be rejuvenated. I want to thank everybody here for your continued support, for your tefillos, for your phone calls, for your emails, for your text messages, for your chesed, for taking care of my kids, for making meals for my family, for taking care of my mother-in-law, and everything else that everybody here did for us. I appreciate it. Malkia and I feel it. And even if I didn't call you back, if I didn't write you back, I read it, I heard it, I'm sorry, and I know it. It might take me a little while to get back. And I hope that you all understand that. I pray that that our learning and that your chesed serves to elevate my brother's neshama so that we can continue to sing. To sing together the songs of Emuna, even in times of galus, so that we should merit together to again sing the songs of Geula, the songs of Chesed, so that we can sing the songs of Tzuri V'lo Avla Sabo, to sing together of the Yashras of Hashem. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight, and if you please don't mind on your way out, I know there's not enough food, but if you can, to make a bracha, there's mizonos, there's ha'adama, and there's shahakol, and have in mind the bracha should serve le'iloi nishmas chayim yisachar ben yechiel zeirodom. Thank you very much again, everybody, and have a great night.